Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to the Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga. If you can't join us in person, come and join us live stream. We live stream. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on 9 a.m. At the live stream and worship with us and hear the message each week. If you can't do the live stream or the in-person, you can always go to our YouTube channel and watch our children's messages, our weekly sermons, or the whole worship service. Today, we're going to look at the call of the four disciples in the opening chapter of John. We will see how the lives of Andrew, Peter, Philip, and Nathaniel, how their lives were forever changed and transformed. Listen to the good news. God does not leave us to search and search until we come to Him. God comes out to meet us. Saint Augustine once said, "We could not even have begun to seek for God unless He had already found us." When we go to God, we do not go to the one who hides himself and keeps us at a distance. We go to the one who stands waiting for us and who can even take the initiative, who even takes the initiative by coming to meet us on the road. That's from Saint Augustine. I love reading some of those old saints. Before we turn to God's word, let us come to the Lord in a moment of prayer. Dear Lord, You have called each one of us by name. You knew us before we were born. Your word teaches us all the days of our lives are written in your book. We come again today, not because we are worthy, but because you are worthy. We come to hear the soft sound of the sandaled feet of the Messiah calling us to come, follow me. Amen. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in John chapter 1, verses 35 through 44. John chapter 1, 35 through 44. If you don't have a Bible, email me at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship. Our church will send you a Bible. John 1, 35. The next day, John the Baptist was there again with two of his disciples. When he, John, saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following, and he asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went, and they saw where he was staying and spent the day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and he said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which translated is Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come out of there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked Jesus. Nathanael's asking Jesus, "How do you know me?" And Jesus says, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that." He then added, "I tell you the truth. You shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." What do you want? Isn't that a great question? I love this opening chapter of John. I pray maybe just go back this week and read John chapter 1. In this opening chapter of John, it has some powerful, powerful statements. I love the little questions that Jesus asks. What do you want? I believe that Jesus' question, "What do you want?" is a profound and deeply moving question. Maybe I'd ask you that today. What do you want? What do you want? See, that's the question that Jesus asked. What do you want? Did the disciples really know what they wanted? If we met Jesus and he asked us to follow, would we know what we wanted? Would we know him? A pastor friend in Texas sent me a little quote from Mark Twain. Mark Twain said it this way, "I can teach anybody what they want to get out of life. The problem is that I cannot find anybody who can tell me what they want." So my question to you is, what do you want? The Greek word for "do you want" is zeteo, and of course it's a present active verb in that sentence. It's the verb, and the verb is a present active. And that may not mean anything to you, but in Greek it means a lot of things. It means that the action is ongoing, never ending. The Greek word zeteo can be translated into words like, "What are you deliberating about? What are you demanding? What are you looking for? What are you searching for? What are you seeking after? What are you striving for? What are you looking for?" And we translate it very simply, "What do you want?" It isn't a matter of a one-timer question that Jesus asks, "What do you want?" It's like he's asking that question to us day after day, hour after hour, minute after minute. Have you ever thought about Jesus standing right in front of you saying, "What do you want today? What do you want this hour?" That's what it means in the Greek. Jesus is asking again and again and again, "What do you want?" Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and so are his questions. What do you want? Do you want success? Do you want security? Do you want financial wealth? Do you want health? Do you want peace? We're praying for peace in the Ukraine. Lord, we pray right now for all those that are devastated by the war in Ukraine. We pray for the innocent victims on both sides. We pray for your peace to come and reign there. Do you want peace? Do you want health? Do you want wealth? Do you want prestige? Do you want honor? Do you want glory? Do you want power? What do you want? Johnny Lee wrote a song called "Looking for Love." Maybe you've sung that song before. "I was looking for love in all the wrong places, looking for love in too many faces, searching their eyes, looking for traces of what I'm dreaming of, hoping to find a friend and a lover. I'll bless the day I discover another heart looking for love." Gypsy Smith, well, he was an evangelist and preacher who first served with the Salvation Army, and then as an evangelist and preacher. And Gypsy Smith was an uneducated young boy who grew up, well, he grew up as a gypsy in the middle of the 1800s in England. One night at a revival meeting, Gypsy Smith pointed a boy to the Lord Jesus who died on the cross in his place and in his stead. And after a while, that lad said, "I think I see it. First, you bring yourself to Jesus, then you leave yourself with Jesus, and you just keep going on." "Yes, that's it," said Gypsy Smith, and the lad went away rejoicing in this newfound Savior. The next night, the evangelist found him in the inquiry room again, his eyes shining like stars, and Gypsy said to the boy, "Why, sonny, I thought you received Jesus as your Savior last night." The young lad said, "Yes, so I did." "Then why are you here again tonight?" Gypsy said. "I came to bring my mother." And the next night, the same boy was in the inquiry room once more. "What brings you here tonight, sonny?" inquired Gypsy. "Oh, I came tonight to bring my grandfather," was the reply. Three generations were won because a little boy who found the Savior became a personal worker in his own home. One can never tell what God might do with a gospel witness. Many years ago in St. Louis, a Christian man was completing a business deal with his lawyer. Before leaving the office, the Christian man turned to the lawyer and he said, "I have often wanted to ask you a question, but I've been a coward." The lawyer was surprised. "I didn't think you were afraid of anything. What is the question?" His client replied, "Why aren't you a Christian?" The lawyer hung his head. "Well, you know my weakness," he said. "Is there something in the Bible about drunkards having no part in the kingdom of God?" Not to be detoured, the Christian friend said, "That's not what I'm asking you. I want to know why you aren't a Christian." "Well," said the lawyer, "I can't recall that anybody asked me, and I'm sure nobody ever told me how to become a Christian." Before long, the two men were praying together, and God moved in that lawyer's office. And he moved in that lawyer's life. He saved him and immediately broke the power of drinking that had bound him. Well, that lawyer's name was Cyrus Scofield, who later edited the famous Scofield Reference Bible, the most widely used study Bible in the world. From time to time, we hear statistics about how people first enter into church membership. The figures trace back to the Institute by American Church Growth, which asked 10,000 people about their pilgrimage. What led them into church membership? And the answers might surprise you. 2% said they came because of special needs. 3% said they just walked in the door. 6% said, well, they came because of pastor. 1% said, well, they were just visiting. 5% said they came for Sunday school. And 3% said, well, it was an evangelistic crusade. And 3% said it was a special program. 79% of the people that come to church came because their friends or relative invited them. We've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. We're going to talk about Andrew now. What do we know about Andrew? We know that Andrew was an early follower of John the Baptist. To be a follower of John the Baptist took a lot of courage. John the Baptist lived in the wilderness, ate locusts and honey, and wore camel's hair as his tunic. John the Baptist preached a message of repentance, calling the people of Israel to turn away from their sins and turn their hearts back to God. To say the least, John the Baptist's message was not very popular with the religious establishment of the day. Here we find Andrew following and hanging out with a wild man who was cut from a different cloth. Camel's hair, of course. Andrew was on the seashore the very day that Jesus came to be baptized by John the Baptist. Andrew was right there and he heard John cry out, "Look, the Lamb of God," when Jesus was passing by. This week, when I was working in my Greek on this passage, I found the verbs in John 1:36 fascinating. Here's verse 36. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." That's verse 36. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." The verb used for passing by is peripateo, and it's a present active participle, which means that the action Jesus is doing is continuous action. The passing by of Jesus is ongoing and never ending. Jesus passes by yesterday, Jesus passes by today, Jesus passes by tomorrow. Now, friends, that is a comforting note for us. Stay with me because the verb used for John the Baptist's proclamation, he said, is also a present active verb, meaning that the news that Jesus is the Lamb of God, well, it's proclaimed over and over and over again. Jesus is passing by as the Lamb of God over and over and over again. Not just 2,000 years ago, but this very day. Jesus, the Lamb of God, is still passing by. To me, that's really exciting stuff. Once, while testing the acoustics in an agricultural hall in London, the famous preacher Charles Spurgeon rang out while practicing in the empty building, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." A workman up in the ceiling heard the message, was convicted, went home, knelt down before the Lord, and he found his salvation. We never know how or when or where Jesus, the Lamb of God, will go passing by, do we? Maybe Jesus is passing by right now as you're listening. Maybe you need to come to Christ right now. There's never a better time. If you've never accepted Christ, ask Jesus to come into your heart, to forgive you and to be your Lord and Savior. He's passing by right now. Andrew is known for being one of the very first disciples. We're told that Andrew and the other disciples with him immediately turned and followed Jesus. The scholars believe that the other disciple is none other than John, the writer of the gospel we're studying. Andrew and the other disciple asked Jesus, "Where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent the day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John the Baptist had said and had followed him. Andrew was one of the first disciples of Jesus. Andrew could have stopped right there and kept Jesus to himself. A lot of us do that. But no, that's not what he does. We are told in verses 41 and 42 that what Andrew did, the first thing Andrew did was find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is the Christ, and he, Andrew, brought him, Peter, his brother, to Jesus. Well, my question to you, what is the first thing you do when you find out something really important? Who is the first person you go and tell? According to the church research survey, did you hear how many people came to Christ through a friend or a relative? 79%, almost 80%. This is it. So exciting. It's so exciting. That's why we do what we do. That's why I'm here with you today on the radio. I want to tell you about my friend Jesus. Andrew was the very first person who went and found his brother and shared the good news of the Messiah. Stop and think about this for a minute. Andrew knew his brother. Andrew knew that his brother Peter was, well, loud, boisterous, and, well, a bit obnoxious. Andrew also knew that his brother Peter was, well, he was bigger and better and probably more popular than Andrew. Andrew didn't stop to think about the possibility of playing second fiddle to his brother. He went and found his brother. We, John and I, have found a Messiah. The second time we see Andrew's name mentioned in the gospel is in John 6, the story of the feeding of the 5,000. We'll get there. Stay with us in a few weeks. We'll be there with that great story. The multitude are now following Jesus. We're told that over 5,000 people followed. They had seen Jesus heal the sick, cast out demons. Now they're all coming to see another miracle, and Jesus tells Peter to go buy bread for thousands of people. Philip says that they don't have 8 months' wages, couldn't even feed that many people. So Andrew, quick-thinking Andrew, he goes out. Listen what it says in John 6. It says, another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up, "Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" Andrew brings the little boy with his lunch to Jesus. The little boy has 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Maybe Andrew's not quite sure how this little boy's lunch will help, yet he is faithful in bringing the boy to Jesus. Do you see where Jesus is the extra and the little boy is the ordinary? The little boy's lunch feeds 5,000 men plus women and children. Andrew is a man on a mission. First, he brings his brother to Jesus, then he brings the little boy with his lunch. The next time Andrew is mentioned is in chapter 12 of John. The disciples and Jesus have entered Jerusalem for the Passover. Jesus is about to be betrayed, crucified, dead, and buried. And we're told that some Greeks come to Philip to ask if they could see Jesus. Philip doesn't bring the Greeks to Jesus. Nope. Philip brings them to Andrew. What does Andrew do? Andrew brings the group of the Greek-speaking people to Jesus, John 12, 20 and 22. The Bible does not record what happened to Andrew after the resurrection and Pentecost. Tradition says that Andrew took the gospel north. Eusebius, an ancient church historian, records that Andrew went to as far as Scythia, which is now modern Russia. Wow. Andrew was in Russia. Do you know that Andrew is the patron saint of Russia? Andrew was crucified in Achaia, southern Greece, near Athens. One record records that Andrew led the wife of the Roman governor to Christ, which made the governor furious, and the governor demanded that his wife recant and be refused, and she refused. And as a result, the governor had Andrew crucified. The governor's orders were for Andrew to be tied, not nailed, to the cross to prolong his suffering and death. Andrew was lashed to a a saltire, like an X-shaped cross. From most accounts recorded, he hung on the cross for 2 days. Tradition also records that during those 2 days, Andrew exhorted those passing by to turn to Christ for their salvation. So what? How many of you heard of Edward Kimball? Edward was a timid, soft-spoken Sunday school teacher. Kimball's impact on the world is greatly known, but his name is not known. Kimball went to a shoe store in Boston one day to share the gospel with an uneducated, crude, illiterate young clerk by the name of D.L. Moody. Moody had begun to attend Kimball's Sunday school class. Kimball found Moody in the shoe store and shared with Moody about having a relationship with Jesus Christ. I never could remember just what I did say, something about Christ and his love. That's all Kimball wrote. It was a weak appeal. D.L. Moody was used mightily by the Lord in the last half of the 19th century. On both sides of the Atlantic, Moody was an evangelist who started Moody Bible School. Moody is credited with speaking to over 100 million people. Moody influenced many for Christ, including C.T. Studd, who was a great pioneer missionary, Wilbur Chapman, who became a famous evangelist. From an uneducated shoe salesman came D.L. Moody and a Bible Institute that today produces at least one out of the 10 Protestant ministers. Where would we be without the Andrews in our world? The Andrews are the first to hear and the first to tell. The first thing Andrew did after meeting Jesus, the Lamb of God, who was passing by, was go and find your brother Peter. We found a Messiah. Peter, the one who Jesus said he would build his church upon. The one who denied Jesus 3 times. Peter, who gave the first sermon after Pentecost, where 3,000 people were added to the church in 1 day. But where would the church to be without Andrew? So what? So what? I think every pastor, including me, would be overjoyed to serve in a church filled with Andrews. Andrew was a man on a mission. His mission was to go and tell others, one-on-one, that he had found the Messiah. Your mission, if you choose to accept it, is to go out from here this week and share with one person that you found the Messiah. Just think of what could happen. Just think of what could happen in their lives and in their homes. Just think of what could happen in their workplace. Just think of what could happen in the church and the community. Remember, the researchers, 79% of the people come to Christ through a friendship or a relative. Andrew went and found his brother. Andrew went and found the little boy with the lunch. Andrew found the Greeks and brought him to Jesus. Think of Edward Kimball. Think of Gypsy Smith. Think of Charles Schofield. So what? We have work to do. Let us pray. Father God, Brother Jesus, and Counselor Holy Spirit, we do have work to do. Please place the name of someone who needs to know your love upon their heart. Help me to be like Andrew this week. Help me to have the courage to tell my family or a coworker or a friend about the wonderful peace I have found in Christ. Show me who needs your love in their life and help me to be the hands and feet of Christ. Thank you, God, for the Andrews in our world. Thank you for the person who told me about Jesus. Help me to do the same. I ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God loves you, and so do I. Have a blessed week being an Andrew. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.